Today on your Healthiest Healthy podcast with Samantha Harris.
Every meal is an opportunity to do feed health or feed health problems. The problem is most people in the West are only in the sugar burning, hangry, blood sugar volatility, hangriness, fatigue state. That's not good. So metabolic flexibility is able to really burn both fat and sugar. Learning about what serves you and what sabotages you. Learning about what your body loves and learning about what your body hates. We start with an elimination diet approach to learn about your body, to get feedback, to know when I bring this back in, I don't feel as good. So you know, okay, I'm going to take this out, not because it's restrictive, but because it's not jiving with your biochemistry at this point.
Hey everyone, it's Samantha Harris. I'm an Emmy-winning journalist and TV host from shows like Dancing with the Stars and Entertainment Tonight. But a breast cancer diagnosis at age 40 changed everything. The wake-up call I didn't realize I needed. Now, a certified health coach and the author of a number one best-selling wellness book, I'm fiercely dedicated to guiding you to elevate your well-being in ways you may not have realized you could or even should. Don't worry, it's with small, manageable steps to mitigate chronic disease and live vibrantly with unparalleled energy. This is your Healthiest Healthy podcast.
Hello, your Healthiest Healthy community. It is another fantastic day with our live guest expert for the week. This is someone who, look, if you guys are active on Instagram in the wellness space, I'm sure you've already come across Dr. Will Cole. And if you haven't come across Dr. Will Cole, well, then you are in for a treat today because he is an incredible and insightful guy. He's a leading functional medicine expert. He's worked with people like Gwyneth Paltrow and Elle Macpherson and basically every top doc, a lot of whom have been guests right here in our community, from Dr. David Perlmutter to Hyman to all the other wonderful doctors who have been guest experts. They all endorse and love what Dr. Will Cole is doing. He has been named one of the top 50 functional medicine and integrative doctors in the nation. And what Dr. Cole specializes in is clinically investigating the underlying factors of chronic disease and customizing, and this is really key, customizing a functional medicine approach for thyroid issues, autoimmune conditions, hormonal imbalances, digestive disorders, brain problems, lots of things that we've talked about here in the community and that some of you are dealing with yourself. He is also the best-selling author of Ketotarian and the Inflammation Spectrum. And then his latest book is called Intuitive Fasting. All fantastic reads. He also has a full telehealth practice. So if you guys want some one-on-one time with Dr. Will, you'll be able to have that as well. But let's go ahead and without further ado, welcome to your Healthiest Healthy Dr. Will Cole.
My friend, I need you as my hype man every day. This is like, just makes me feel good about myself. Thank you.
Well, you're doing really tremendous work for so many. I love, you know, following you on Instagram, even just because of the great takeaway that you give with the content that you're putting out there, which is so helpful. And I know you're welcome because you're awesome. So thank you. You know, with the inflammation spectrum, the one book and the newest book, Intuitive Fasting, I have so many things that I want to talk to you about, which just means you're going to have to come back again. So you say eating three meals every day can cause metabolic inflexibility, which is something I want you to describe exactly what that is. And that metabolic inflexibility can lead to inflammation, to weight gain, fatigue, chronic health problems, and so many other things. Why?
Yeah, so it's a lot of what we do, the way that we live our lives. It really boils down to what researchers call an epigenetic genetic mismatch or an evolutionary mismatch, that our genetics haven't changed in 10,000 years, but yet our world has changed and the way that we live our life has changed very dramatically in a very finite short period of time. And this growing chasm between our DNA, which hasn't changed, and the world around us, is growing ever more great. So we have to look at a lot of different aspects of our life, but part of that, since we're all eating, or we should be eating, there's a mismatch with not just what we're eating, which is certainly more important, but also when we're eating and how much we're eating. So eating requires a lot of energy. And a lot of people are eating from sunup to sundown, even later than sundown. And they're really never giving their body a break to repair. And instead of just always, it's just basically this constant stress, this constant work on the system, and we're never really activating our parasympathetic system, our resting, digesting system, as much as our body needs. So a tool that we can use in our life, and it's a completely free tool, is intermittent fasting, and specifically a subset of intermittent fasting called time-compressed feeding or time-restricted feeding. It should be cyclical. There's a time for bigger eating windows, but there's also a time for bigger fasting windows too. So it starts, it's in a way mimicking what humans would have done for thousands of years for many different reasons, food availability being one of them. And just being humans for thousands of years would have intentionally gone through periods of fasting for different health purposes or spiritual purposes. So it's really a part of our DNA. Fasting is encoded in our DNA, and it decreases that mismatch between genetics and epigenetics.
Well, also, nowadays, we are not hunter-gathering. We aren't going through long periods of scarcity. So we have food at our fingertips, and oftentimes, really, frankenfood, non-food, nutrient-deficient foods that we are putting in our body, especially as part of the standard American diet. And so because of that, we have the ability to eat nonstop all day long, every day, as you mentioned, sometimes people who are eating way into the night and not allowing our body the time to rest and digest and have that fast. What would you say is the bare minimum for anybody, man, woman, whatever age, to fast each day minimum?
The bare minimum, and I would say the fasting aficionados wouldn't even call this fasting, but you're fasting through the night, right? That's what fasting should be at the very least, right? And it's a 12-12 is what I would say. So 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., you know, even 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., depending on your schedule, make it work for your life, make it sustainable. But I would say to allow 2 to 3 hours after dinner before you go to bed and not go to bed too late is really the goal here, is to get proper bandwidth through the night where you're not, you're able to fast through the night until you break the fast at breakfast, hence its name, in the morning. So that's at least a bit, that's bare minimum. And then from there, you can vacillate and ebb and flow. And what I advocate for in intuitive fasting is this cyclical, vacillating, fluctuating fasting and eating window. So you're not always doing the same thing. The analogy that I use in the book is sort of this proverbial yoga class for your metabolism. Sometimes there's a place for deeper fast. Sometimes there's times for more eating. And that's sort of the goal there, because we're gaining flexibility. Just like with yoga, you gain musculoskeletal flexibility. For fasting, you're gaining metabolic flexibility to be able to burn both fat and sugar so you can have optimal energy, optimal weight, optimal blood sugar balance, and gut health.
Well, and metabolic flexibility is a sort of the buzz phrase that a lot of people are hearing more and more of today. I think even 6 months ago, people weren't talking about metabolic flexibility as they are right now at this very moment. Mm-hmm. And again, it's that ability to go from gas to diesel, or gas to electric, right? From burning carbs to burning fat. What is the optimal ability to be able to do that for our body? What are we looking for? And when do we want to burn carbs versus when do we want to burn fat? And then how do we make that actually happen?
Well, I mean, we started talking a little bit before we started the live. It's bioindividuality, right? We're all created differently. That's the heart of functional medicine, is we're all different. And some people do need to spend more time in a fat burning state, a ketotic state, a keto adapted state, because you can get a lot of benefits from that, right? It's a way to tap into, ketosis is known as the fourth macronutrient in the research. So we have proteins, fats, carbs, and ketones. So it's really to tap into this fuel source. So people that are struggling with, I just came off of a call with patients where a lot of them are struggling with different brain fog issues and fatigue and weight loss resistance and different inflammatory problems, autoimmune problems. And beta-hydroxybutyrate, which is the ketone that your body can produce, it's a natural anti-inflammatory. It's a great way to fuel your brain. It's a way to really support optimal cellular health too. So it's a great tool within the toolbox. Not everybody needs that tool as much as other people. So sometimes people are going to do a little bit less of that ketosis and a little bit more of clean, what I call clean carb cycling, and less fasting. Because just to define this, intermittent fasting and different fasting techniques and the ketogenic diet both increase ketosis. So it doesn't mean everybody that's fasting is always in ketosis, But that's the goal eventually, to really be tapping into this state, this fasted state. Paracelsus, one of the fathers of modern medicine, he called fasting the physician within, which I think is a really eloquent way of putting it. This inner doctor that we all have, we can all tap into to really support different healing pathways. So how do you know? It's both the subjective and objective way. Subjectively, check in with your body. How do you feel? How's your energy levels? How's your sleep? How's your inflammation level? All of your health goals. Like, is your health moving in the positive direction? That's one subjective way. And in the book, I started the book off with, and this is an intuitive fasting, I started the book off with a quiz that I adapted from questions that I ask patients for people to just sort of check in with their body and see more or less where am I at on the metabolic flexibility spectrum. But testing is really the best way to know objectively. So there's different technique, different tools out there, different ways that we can measure data. So there's breath meters, there's blood meters. People can really look at the numbers and see where their metabolism's at.
Well, and something I want to just also highlight is you mentioned ketosis, and I know a lot of people hear another buzzword, which is the ketogenic diet. Do I need to be eating keto? And I think overall, the idea is that some people can benefit from a ketogenic diet, but usually for a short amount of time to achieve a specific goal. So I want to make sure to just highlight that, so people aren't thinking, oh gosh, I got to go keto. I'm totally got to go keto. That's not what you're saying. You're just saying that by doing intuitive fasting, you're able to get your body into a place of ketogenesis to be able to maximize the metabolic flexibility, the burning the carbs versus burning the fat.
Yeah, it's a tool. It's like that proverbial yoga class for a time. Some people have to do yoga, like harder yoga longer to really gain that flexibility. Where's their starting point? What are their health goals? What does the lab say? Some people are going to need it more than others. But for most people, if you're just looking at the average person that's looking to enhance their health, I advocate a cyclical approach where they're not always in ketosis, but they're so metabolically flexible that they'll go into ketosis pretty easily, but they can come right out of it and then go back into it. That's metabolic flexibility. That's not just burning fat, but it's not just being burning sugar. The problem is most people in the West are only in this sugar burning, hangry, blood sugar volatility, hangriness, fatigue state. That's not good. So metabolic flexibility is able to really burn both fat and sugar.
And so because you have such insight, both from your intuitive fasting new book and your inflammation spectrum previous, your second of your three books, I think I kind of want to divide this conversation into two parts, which first one will go with intuitive fasting. And then I do want to dive into inflammation a little bit too, which is such an important part. And they're very interconnected, of course.
Are all the vitamins you're taking actually what your body needs, or are there others you should be taking but don't realize? What if your supplements got personal, like tailor-made for your individual needs? See, I got totally fed up with buying a mishmash of random vitamins and other supplements I just assumed I might need because other people or social media influencers said I needed them. One size fits all doesn't work for anyone when it comes to what's best for our unique biology. So I got really excited when I found a simple tool backed by complex science and powered by a sophisticated algorithm that allows me to get personalized nutrition recommendations. It's called Meology, and it delivers these recommendations precisely for you, not people like you, for you, with more precision, more power, more patents, and more proof than any of the competition. Want to take the quick health assessment to see your personalized recommendations? It's free. Just go to tinyurl.com/healthquizfromSamantha and take it for free. That's tinyurl.com/healthquizfromSamantha. Before cancer and sitting in the makeup chair every day for my TV shoots, I had no idea how many carcinogens, endocrine disruptors, and neurotoxins were lurking in the beauty products being used on my face and body, and same with my at-home routine. After cancer and tons of research and vetting products and brands, I finally discovered one that became my absolute favorite, and it gives me the look and staying power I need without the toxic junk. Now I want to share it with you. It's called Crunchy, and they've set a new standard for cosmetic safety and are redefining the beauty industry where high performance, product safety, and sustainability meet for unprecedented cosmetic results. You no longer have to compromise your beauty for your health or your health for your beauty. Just visit crunchy.com/Samantha Harris. That's crunchy with an I, crunchy.com/Samantha Harris.
So when we're talking about metabolic flexibility then, and in the intuitive fasting, how does someone decide, okay, what's the right amount of fasting for me, especially if they're not using biohacking devices? So you guys in the community, you know that I've been working with a constant glucose monitor on the back of my arm to check my glucose levels throughout the day. I just started working with something called Lumen, which basically tests your carbon dioxide output that tells you if you are in the fat burning or the carb burning to figure out your metabolic flexibility. I'm still doing a deep dive in that. I know that Dr. Will Cole here is all, I keep wanting to say Dr. Will, but then I'm like, do you go by Dr. Will? Then I'm like, is it Dr.
Will's Will? Will's fine. We're friends. Will's fine. Yeah.
So Will has also been using Lumen. So I'll get you guys more information on that and what that really means and how I feel like that's affecting or helping my insight. But it is, besides, if we don't have a tool to check our metabolic flexibility, what are ways besides some of the intuitive things that you just said, listening to our body, how we're feeling, what our energy is, brain fog, what are some other ways that we can figure out how metabolically flexible we are and then how do we shift to make that change into carb versus fat burning or fat versus carb?
Yeah. So I really would take that quiz. It's completely free. I have it at drwillcole.com too, for people to just go to the quiz section and go to the metabolic flexibility quiz. It's pretty thorough and it walks people through the different questions that I would ask during a consultation, just kind of checking in with your blood sugar balance, checking in with your metabolism, checking in with inflammation levels, checking in with your energy levels and brain function. Really, all of those things are governed by, in part, metabolic flexibility or inflexibility. So I think that those are good pointers. If you don't have access to a CGM or Lumen or a ketone, you know, breath meter or a ketone strips, a blood meter, that's what I would recommend people to do. Look at your energy levels, look at your digestion, look at your sleep, look at your weight goals. All of these things can be pointers. And then we would retest. Obviously, if you don't have a metric to test on a lab or at an at-home kit, I would say retake that quiz and see your score improve. And that's really what a lot of people could do. And I hear readers of the book all the time, they would send me screenshots of their quiz scores of seeing those improve over time, which is a way for you to really say, oh man, I'm really moving in the right direction and moving my health in the positive direction.
Right, and have that barometer. And you mentioned something that I want to just double back to, which is there is some sort of at-home kit to measure your ketones. What is that about?
Yeah, so there's different ketone meters. The gold standard is measuring beta hydroxybutyrate, or BHB, which is the ketone that's naturally produced. That's the fourth macronutrient that I was talking about. So we can measure this fuel source for our body through a ketone meter, similar to a glucometer. Like if you're measuring your blood sugar, it's very similar. And some actual glucometers can measure both ketones and blood sugar too. One of the more common ones, I have no affiliation with them, you know, financially, but they're called Keto Mojo, you know, pretty, you know, it's well respected within this space to measure your ketone levels. There are breath meters that one's called Ketonix that measures breath acetone. And then, like you mentioned, there's Lumen that measures carbon dioxide. So there's different ways. Those are considered like surrogate labs for like measuring, like inferring beta hydroxybutyrate being elevated.
And I know with a constant glucose monitor, you need a prescription or you need to go through a company like Levels or Nutrisense, both of which I'm checking out right now. But with the ketone one that you were just talking about that you can check at home, is that something that you also need a prescription or you can just go online and order it?
Just go online and order it. It's direct to consumer.
Oh, okay. That's great to know. We love having these tips and insights of other. Yeah. It's nice to be able to biohack ourselves and have the ability to check things out at home, taking really control of our health rather than always having to go to a doctor's office. Although, if you can find an incredible functional medicine doc like Will here, then you know, then it's great to have that, you know, someone like.
Yeah,
that, you
know. But even with my patients, I have them do this at home too, because it's like a real time N of one experiment of your bioindividuality. So there's a time and place for bigger labs and we can run those too. But the mini report cards are actually the day-to-day things. And I track the data and get that, to get those numbers improved.
That's such an important thing. And I think it is, we can also, by the way, you guys, when you are tracking, whether it's the CGM, the glucose monitor, or something like Lumen to track your fat burn, your metabolic flexibility, or glucose or carb burn, we can also, or even if you guys have the Oura Ring, I don't have that but yet, but you know, to track your sleep, we can also get to a place of stress because we're so obsessed with our numbers and figuring out, and how do I get better? And it can be a sense of overwhelm. So just know that if you are going to integrate some of these props, we'll call them, or tools into your lives, that you are taking it sort of with a grain of salt and finding some, a sense of calm with it so that you're not really stressed. Because I found even for myself, I'm like, oh gosh, I had that same acai bowl today. Then the other day my glucose was fine. And today it's spiking. And what? Breathe, relax, it all goes, you know, so looking at the big picture rather than the moment to moment. I do want to, well, first of all, any thoughts on that before I transition to—
I completely agree with you. There should be a grace and lightness to wellness, and you have to check yourself. And I honestly see most people using these tools for a period of time and then dropping it, because it's, you almost use it as an awareness tool, a mindfulness tool to learn about your body. And at a certain point, you know your body and you can like drop it. So like levels, they were, the average person recommend just wearing it for 30 days as an experiment and then let it go. Same with, I have an Oura Ring. I wore it for a time and learned about my body, learned how different behaviors influence my sleep. And then I don't wear it very much, but you can go back to the tools when you want to check in. So you have it, but it's not, I like keeping it simple. So use it for a time, and then check yourself, always check yourself, because stressing about not stressing or stressing about health and wellness is the antithesis of, it's counterproductive. So that's, yeah, an important point.
It is. Absolutely. I want to transition a little bit to your other book, The Inflammation Spectrum. We know inflammation, of course, is the underlying root cause of so many chronic diseases and so many different health complaints and concerns. And you say that it exists on a continuum from mild symptoms such as weight gain or fatigue, but then the other end could be hormone imbalance and autoimmune diseases, and like I said, chronic diseases. So how do we take control of inflammation?
Do you feel like you often put yourself at the bottom of the to-do list? Or self-care just barely means a hot bath, perhaps an occasional workout, or maybe a chair massage at the mall? How does this sound instead? Let's meet up for 4 days at a blissful sanctuary surrounded by stunning red rock mountains. It's perfect for those craving a break from the chaos of everyday life to get you back on the road to your healthiest healthy yet. And while we're together, you'll get personal coaching from me. We'll grab some epic hikes for all levels, eat delicious healthy meals together. You'll get pampered at the spa, enjoy yoga and invigorating fitness classes, all included at a spectacular resort in Utah. It's the wellness retreat you've been waiting for, but just haven't yet taken the time to gift yourself. It's transformational, restorative, and so much fun. So join me. It's my exclusive Your Healthiest Healthy Retreat, Utah, this October. I have limited spots for this ladies-only small group wellness getaway, so hurry and visit tinyurl.com/YHHretreats. Because it's the Your Healthiest Healthy Retreat. So that's tinyurl.com/YHHretreats. See you there.
Well, I mean, as you mentioned earlier, like fasting and the foods we eat, there's so much interconnected with inflammation, because every food we eat either feeds inflammation or fights it. It's doing something for our physiology, some in more noticeable ways, some in very negligible incremental ways, but, and it's bioindividual. So it's really that book, The Inflammation Spectrum, is really born out of, all the books are born out of my clinical work, but that is like a true functional medicine book of like looking at bioindividuality, looking at how different things, not just food. I have a whole section called non-food inflamers. Like what are the things like stress and sleep and exposure to different environmental toxins? How do those influence your inflammation levels? So all of these things are epigenetic modulators, right? They're environmental, lifestyle, things that we have at least some agency over that are constantly and dynamically influencing inflammation levels and genetic expression. So this is really what we do is we need to look at without stressing about it, but taking it simple, but looking at how our lives, is it in an alignment with where we want to be? And every meal is an opportunity to do feed health or feed health problems, feed inflammation or calm it down. And this isn't to stress anybody out. It's actually quite simple once you get the hang of it, but it's just learning about what serves you and what sabotages you, learning about what your body loves and learning about what your body hates. So it really is that. And it can be a little bit overwhelming at first, but then there becomes a rhythm and a grace and a lightness and an intuition to all of this. And you'll know, just like I mentioned with the testing, you'll know, you don't have to be thinking about it. It's not all of my patients hit that precipice, that catalyst, that paradigm shift to just knowing this is what makes them feel good. And it's not restrictive. It's not arduous. It's not punitive. They love feeling great more than they ever thought. They don't miss the things that sabotage them anymore. And that's what I call in the book, food peace, the sort of like peace that they know that this is an act of self-respect. It's not restriction. Actually feeling poorly and having fatigue and having these different inflammatory problems, that's what's restrictive at the end of the day.
It is. And I think that's a really good point. I love the way you phrase things too, that it's that opportunity every time you sit down at the table to make that choice to feed or fuel, you know, or restrict different potential harms or potential healthful building of your dietary intake so that you can thrive. So what would you say, I mean, you say that we eat foods that either feed inflammation or fight it. What would you say are the most effective ways to eat to amplify the health benefits of the intermittent fasting, which is kind of combining your two books?
Yeah. Well, and I talk about intermittent fasting in the inflammation spectrum in passing. And that's part of the reason why I wanted a whole book dedicated to that, because the science is so deep and expansive, it needs its own book. But yeah, the inflammation spectrum, I talk about intermittent fasting in that because it is a tool. Beta hydroxybutyrate that I mentioned, that's an epigenetic modulator, meaning it does a lot of different things. But one of them, it really works on these anti-inflammatory pathways. It calms down pro-inflammatory pathways like NF-kappa-B, the NLRP3 inflammasome. These inflammation pathways that are really high, it's a natural way to lower it. And it increases and AMPK pathways, the NRF2 pathway, these antioxidant pro-longevity pathways. So fasting is a tool to calm inflammation. And that's one of why people see benefits from intermittent fasting. But it's not just about fasting. It's about food. It's about mindfulness, stress management, optimal sleep. All of these are tools within the toolbox. So really looking at food, that's what most of the book of the inflammation spectrum is about. It's about looking at your own bio-individual food medicine cabinet in a way. And because, you know, there are foods that I know flare some people up, the next person, they do fine on it. So I try not to make too many broad sweeping, like overgeneralized statements with this, because if I hung my hat in one way for everybody, I'd be proven wrong all day long when I'm consulting patients. So it's really about exploring and making your life an N of one experiment, making your life a lab, being curious about your body. So you kind of get this rhythm and intuition and confidence in knowing, okay, these are the best things that are going to set me up for success. These are the best things that make me live my best life. And that's that piece that I was talking about earlier. So we start with an elimination diet approach to learn about your body, to get feedback, to know when I bring this back in, I don't feel as good. And again, it's not like making a blanket statement, maybe the next person does fine on that food. But for you at this point in your health journey, this food kind of dims my light. It's kind of a bad trade-off. So you know, okay, I'm going to take this out, not because it's restrictive, but because it's not jiving with your biochemistry at this point. So we're exploring the foods that are the most likely to be inflammatory, but it's not saying indicting them for everybody because they can work for some people.
And I think that's a good point, is that we all are individual. For instance, you know, using this constant glucose monitor, I know that for the last couple of years, while I start my day when I break my fast on a smoothie or an acai bowl, I know that I'm energized for the rest of the day. I feel great. I'm satiated. But then you bring in a tool like constant glucose monitor, and I think, oh no, now I'm seeing what it's doing to my glucose. And so my question to you would be, all right, so if we know how it makes us feel and our productivity and so on, But then we see certain numbers, whether it's blood labs or something like a CGM. How do we interpret that in terms of what we should change or not?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say this is ultimately, if your blood sugar is impacted with the food, and it calms back down within a couple of hours, you kind of have to weigh the joy that I think it brings into your life. You know, if you're talking about a whole food based carbohydrate like that, and I want to look at how many grams of carbohydrates you probably were having in a day anyways, because we may find other places of carbs that we could hold off on. And then you can have that acai bowl and it really is nutrient dense and it has fiber and it has, yes, some fructose, but it's all right. But here's the deal too, is that when we deal with some of the other things that can go on in people's health, like look at underlying gut health problems or hormonal imbalances or other sources of inflammation, then what works for you today from a food standpoint isn't always going to be the case, meaning that you may work really well with that acai bowl later on. Maybe right now it's not the best, but if we can improve insulin sensitivity, get blood sugar balance by dealing with these other things, sort of the bucket empties a bit. So you have some wiggle room with whole food-based carbohydrates like fruits or starchy vegetables or even gluten-free grains, something like that. So I think it's a snapshot in time. It's a good pointer, but I wouldn't hang your hat on that as being the totality of this. And that's bad because my blood sugar is a little bit off. We have to put it in perspective and context.
That's a great point. And I know you talk a little bit too in your books about when your body is out of balance and how it can be really difficult to discern what it needs sometimes, right? We have a hard time figuring out what it needs to build vibrant wellness. Yeah. So how do we build vibrant wellness and balance our body best?
Well, it's looking at all of these things. I keep mentioning these quizzes. I started the inflammation spectrum with the quiz too. And that is also adapted from questions that I ask patients because I think they're good mindfulness tools because many people are so disconnected from their body. They're not even really realizing that there's some things going on because like something that I say often is just because something's common doesn't necessarily mean it's normal. Just because it's your everyday doesn't necessarily mean you're feeling the best you can feel. So I'm not just looking for problems to look for problems, but I really want an honest take, an objective take into how you can feel your best. So I would say use these quizzes like as pointers to see where am I at on the inflammation spectrum? And then from there, what can we do to start moving the needle in the positive direction? So if you haven't already, look at the foods you're having. I mean, what I would call the inflammatory core four, these are the four foods or food additives that are most likely to drive inflammation, impact your blood sugar. It doesn't mean that they're all bad. It doesn't mean there's not better versions of that. And it doesn't mean that some people can't tolerate some levels of these. Again, bioindividuality. But being a human, these are the foods to look at and just be mindful of how they're impacting how you feel. Gluten-containing grains like wheat, rye, barley. Number two would be conventional dairy, like regular dairy you're getting in stores. Three would be industrial seed oils like vegetable oil, canola oil, soybean oil. They can be inflammatory. And number four would be added sugar, more of the refined sugar. That's not with the fiber in that whole food, fruit source or vegetable source or, you know, grain source.
All right. And thankfully we now have, you know, thanks to the environmental working group, we now have the added sugar line. Yeah. Underneath sugars, under carbs, then you get the fiber, then the sugars, and then the added sugar. So when you really want to pay attention to that added sugar line.
There's a whole section in the book where I talk about the research of autophagy and longevity and different cancer research. Obviously, many different types of cancer. More research needs to be done. Some cancers that get their fuel from glucose, there's some promising research looking at different fasting techniques at really improving outcomes. Some of them are paired with conventional treatments and just improving outcomes with pairing fasting with the conventional treatments compared to not fasting. Some are independent and just improving outcomes. So depends on the type of cancer that you're talking about, but there is a solid amount of data as a promising tool within the toolbox, not the only tool, to really be supportive of one's health.
Well, and I know too, there's been some research that I've read about extreme fasting when it comes to going through cancer treatments and going in the midst of chemo and really starving the cancer away. But those are like 24 or 48 hour fasts. So my curiosity was always, but do the shorter fast, the 14, 16 hour fasts, make a difference when it comes to cancer prevention? What have you found?
Yeah, I would say more research needs to be done first. And I would say when you're talking about time compressed feeding, what's important here is the foods you're eating, because they're not as long fasts. So you really want to be eating foods that are congruent with intermittent fasting, especially when you're looking at cancer prevention or decreasing risk factors or as you're going through chemo. And that's one of the benefits of the ketogenic diet. It's fasting mimicking. You can get into this ketotic state, this fasted state when you're eating food. So by spending a time, not necessarily forever and ever, but a season of your life, and you know, to use that example of during treatment, that makes sense for some cancers to be in this sort of higher fat, moderate protein, lower carbohydrate state, because it's really this pathway called mTOR, this mammalian or mechanistic target of rapamycin, of which fasting and the ketogenic diet, really researchers are exploring the impact that that can have on cell proliferation and decreased disease risk, basically. So yeah, I would recommend pairing intermittent fasting with a lower carb ketogenic approach, a whole food, clean, nutrient dense form of the ketogenic diet, not dirty keto. Just because it's keto doesn't mean it's healthy, but a healthy version of the ketogenic
diet. It's like vegan, just because you're vegan doesn't mean you're healthy. And just to highlight one point of that, so if you're integrating, and we are gonna wrap up, if you're integrating the intuitive fasting or the restricted time eating window with the ketogenic diet, or basically going for low carbs, higher fat, I'm assuming too with that, you still want to, this isn't going to be an ongoing for the rest of your life. This would still be a shorter window of really engaging in that ketogenic diet with the window of fasting. And then you could bring the carbs up a little and the fat down a little to get more even.
Yeah. And the good news is that in intuitive fasting, I took the guesswork out of it, because I actually paired in the flexible fasting protocols within the book with a ketotarian approach, which is my made up word for sort of a Mediterranean ketogenic diet. So it's pescatarian, clean, whole foods based ketogenic diet that is cyclical. So we stay in ketosis for a while, but again, we do those clean carb up days. We're increasing sweet potatoes and fruits and starchy vegetables. There's no shame in that. But since we're talking about cancer specifically, anybody that's wanting to get into that physician within state, they're going to want to stay lower carb for a time at least.
We'd love to have you back.
Anytime. This is fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you. This podcast and all related content published or distributed by or on behalf of Samantha Harris, The King's Daughter, Inc., yourhealthiesthealthy.com or samantha-harris.com and its signatories, all known as company, is for informational purposes only and may include information that is general in nature and that is not specific to you. Any information or opinions provided by guest experts or hosts featured within a website or on this episode of Your Healthiest Healthy podcast with Samantha Harris are their own, not those of Samantha Harris or the company. Accordingly, Samantha Harris and the company cannot be responsible for any results or consequences or actions you may take based on such information or opinions. This podcast is presented for exploratory purposes only. Published content is not intended to be used for preventing, diagnosing, or treating a specific illness. If you have or suspect you may have a healthcare emergency, please contact a qualified healthcare professional for treatment. Thank you.